Hi everybody, Steve Savitsky, and I'm here with Dave Rosner. And Dave is a interesting person who is a comedian, a Marine, and we're doing a really, really big article in our summer edition of Jewish Action of the new face of Orthodox style comedy. And Dave is one of those people. Dave, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank God. I'm glad to be on your show here.
No, listen, it's my pleasure. I've read a little bit about you in the article that's going to be coming out. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who you are? I know you come from New Mexico. You were in the Marines. And so you have a really interesting life story. So let's hear about it.
Well, I'm actually still in the Marines.
You're still in the Marines. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I did 4.5 years active duty, and I've been in the reserves for a number of years. I do duty every year to include deploying to Operation Iraqi Freedom during the war, things like that. So, did grow up in New Mexico. A lot of people ask me if there's any Jews there, and I tell them no. I was the last one, and I brought the Torah with me, but there's actually a long history of Jews in New Mexico.
Sure, of course. Everybody knows about that, right?
Actually, the oldest church in America is in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and when they remodeled it, they found mezuzot in the doorway, and even today, Hashem's name in Hebrew is written above the main entryway. It came from the crypto Jews through Spain that came to Mexico and up, and then went north.
Really? So
Wow.
About when was that? In the 1600s?
I want to say that was either the late 1500s or the early 1600s.
Oh, very, very fascinating. So where did you go? Did you grow up in Albuquerque, or did you grow up in Santa Fe?
Grew up in Albuquerque and left there after graduating college. Took off.
Yep. Okay, and then you're in the Marines, when you get out of the Marines, what do you actually do?
Well, I'm a stand-up comedian and an actor and writer, and I guess you would call me also an entrepreneur. And I do, before the sequester, there were a lot of cuts with the military coming. So prior to that, I used to do about 80 to 100 days a year of Marine Corps duty. Now it's not going to be as much. But I speak at a lot of Orthodox synagogues about being a Jewish Marine and what it's like.
Okay.
Korea, things like that, wear your yarmulke in uniform and, being told to take it off.
When you go back to Marines and you were working like 80 days a year, what did you do there?
Well, I'm leaving in 2 weeks to go to Okinawa, Japan for about a 3-week stint, and then I'll go back probably in August for another 2 or 3 weeks. Right now I work in plans. I'm a plans officer. And so my unit in Okinawa is part of Pacific Command, so we deal with, all the threats, basically, from the west coast of America to basically India. And the big baby, of course, in the news right now is North Korea.
Right, exactly right. No question about
China.
Wow, it sounds incredible. So, I guess you must be a pretty funny guy. Is that why you decided to become a comedian?
I'm hilarious. Can't you tell already from the
interview? So far, I'll tell you, really not, because we've been pretty serious. I'm getting nervous, as a matter of fact.
If you were paying me, I'd be cracking you up, but I don't.
Oh, I got you. Oh, okay. This was when
really
I
really only do stand up. I only really do it when I perform. I mean? It's more of, I'm not one of those comedians who's on all the time. Those guys are,
Okay, so where do you perform? What kind of places?
Well, mainly, I was traveling the country for the Marine Corps, speaking at events to encourage Marines to come in for their benefits and to seek mental health counseling if they needed it or anything like that. And they wanted me to tell jokes, and I was the MC, and I'd tell jokes and warm them up and get them kind of open. And then I would actually, through Jewish philosophy, Hasidic philosophy, I would start talking to them about thought, speech, action, and, gevura and chesed, strength and kindness, and how to take compassion on themselves and stuff like that. And in between, I would throw out, more Marine jokes and things. And so that was great. That was 19 different cities across the country.
Wow.
And it was an honor to do that. And then I do a lot of, Jewish organizations. But I'm not running around to the comedy. I just moved from New York to L.A., and it's a very different game out here. And I'm not running around the comedy rooms like I used to in New York. It's more about, you know, my half-brother and I have a show, a television show that we have co-authored, and we're pitching that around. And he's a full-time staff writer on a late-night talk show. And, you know, kind of focusing on, you know, getting as many auditions as I can during pilot season and stuff like that as an actor.
Okay, that's good. So now you move from New York to L.A. So what's the difference between the two?
Well, they're almost... You almost can't even compare these two cities, I'm sure. You know, I don't know if you've been out to L.A.
Of course.
Growing up in New Mexico, you know, you get in a car, you drive to the grocery store, and Albuquerque, you know, the whole state's a mile high, and Albuquerque has like 12,000-foot mountains, you know, to the east of it, and you always see those. And so I'm very much used to that. So being here in L.A., it's kind of like being back there. It's not, you know, I like to get in the car and drive somewhere, and that's how you do things. The weather here is great. The people on the surface are much nicer out here than in New York. And then, you know, New York is, I think once you live in New York, you really can never get it out of your system. It's just the energy and the pace is just, it's like infectious. It's like you, even though you think it's too, at times maybe too much, you want to come back and experience it some more. And people in New York will tell you what's what. They're not gonna be the fake LA people. The weather in New York is cool. New York's tough. I mean, the subway stop where you change from the 6 train to maybe the E, whatever it is, the E or the V, whatever it is there on like 51st and Lex. Okay. I've tested this out. When you walk between those stations, you know, kind of underground, I've slowed my pace just a little bit, and I've literally been knocked into by like old ladies in canes and, you know, kids. Just people do not slow down in New York. It is like the fastest, craziest city ever.
That's true. You're right about that. So now you were, I read the article a little bit, like I said, so you were a Baal Tshuva. So how did that come about?
Well, I think that there was always, you know, there was always something that I was always connected somehow, but growing up in Albuquerque, it wasn't the best environment for it. It was a very negative environment towards any level of observance that was higher than, you know, the biggest synagogue used to be the conservative synagogue, which is a conservative synagogue in Albuquerque is like an ultra left reform synagogue in New York City. But I always would go, like on Friday nights, I would go to services, even when I was in college, and, you know, we had parties. I went to college, University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. I would leave the party, go to services, and then come back because there was just something that I felt, and I felt not only a need to go there, but I just felt something when I was there. But I just didn't believe any of it, and I didn't hardly know anything. And as I've been learning for many, many years, I feel like I know even less. After I did 4 years in the Marines, I went to Israel to Hebrew University to an ulpan, and on the first Shabbat, they took us to the Kotel. And I was always a very spiritual person anyway, but when I got to the Kotel, I saw a bunch of things I've never seen before in my life. I saw people dancing and singing these songs and sometimes just melodies, and there were people with beards and without beards. I've seen beards before, but I mean, in sitzes hanging out and no sitzes, and just groups of men and boys dancing on one side and groups of women, you know, dancing on the other side. Less beards on the women's side, though. But so then...
Really? Oh, that's surprising. Okay.
So then they had us walk back to Hebrew U, and we had Shabbat dinner overlooking Jerusalem. And the kids that grew up, you know, I was a little older than some of them because I'd just done 4 years in the Marines. They started singing, you know, Shalom Aleichem and Eishes Chayil, and I had never heard those songs before. And the same feeling that I had down at the Kotel watching these people and this, you know, dancing and singing with such joy and hearing these songs at the dinner, it was like two diametrically opposed feelings, like simultaneously happening to me. I was thinking, wow, this is so beautiful. This is so wonderful. I have to know more about this. This is, wow. And then I was angry that I didn't know about it. And I was thinking of my family and my friends that I grew up with in Albuquerque that certainly don't know anything about this. And it was like, how could I miss this? You know, like, how did I miss this? So I started, you know, going to Friday night dinners, and they were incredible. And I did attend the Asia Torah used to have a 3-day discovery program.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal. And I went on that, and that was great. And that kind of gave me, in a way, permission to believe that in Hashem, you know, because before that I just still didn't. And then I went on that, you know, I was just on a path, and I got connected with Chabad, and you know, they helped me, you know, greatly, and I started to learn, you know, as much as I could. And I think that you know, once I started to learn, you know, Hasidic philosophy, you know, the Tanya, I was just like, I'm in, like, wow, this is talking about our soul and this and that, and this is what it means. And I just took me on a path, you know, it just kept me going. So it's been, you know, it's not easy being about Tshuva.
No question. And I imagine you saying that because you stayed in the Marines and continued to be, you know, active as far as the reserves. How did that affect your life? I mean, how are you able to manage? Let's say, you know, when you're going to go in 2 weeks from now to Japan, how are you going to manage there?
Well, it's you know, it's very difficult. Look, I'm only going for this almost 3-week stint. I would rather knock out my entire year in one shot, which I usually do, and I was about to do in February, but thank God we pitched our TV pilot to a major network, and so I delayed my reserve duty. But it's difficult. Like, Shavuot's coming up, and so I'm going to leave right before Shavuot, so I'll be back here. Shabbos is very difficult, especially in Okinawa, because the base I'm on doesn't even have they have a Jewish community. They have like a dedicated kind of synagogue on one of the bases out there in Okinawa, and then they have a Navy rabbi who's conservative and a really, really good guy, and he's like super frum conservative. If he was in Albuquerque, they would think he was like Satmar or something. But you know, going there is impossible, and then, you know, it's not going to be a proper minyan anyway. So I just spend a lot of time reading, you know, kind of by myself, you know, in my room. And usually, though, I can get off in time for Shabbat. It's usually not an issue, because it's not a 1 week and a month unit. It's kind of, I'm augmenting the active duty unit, and it's a Monday through Friday gig.
I got you. Oh, that's great. That's unbelievable. So what about this pilot that you're doing? And you sound like you have a budding career here as a TV actor, a writer. So what is it about?
Well, you know, God willing, it's all going to work out. The pilot, all I can really say is that it's about the future. It's about what life's going to be like in the future. And you know, my half-bro and I are very, very into, you know, the technological and medical advances and the future and how that's going to change the world for everybody. And, you know, we also, the interesting thing about it is we have this difference of opinion of the meaning of life. Like, he's not observant yet, so I'll just leave it at that. And he's very, very science-based, and, you know, he believes that, you know, eventually we're going to figure out that there's no difference between a tree and a person. The consciousness is all the same. It's all just, you know, he tried to come up with his own Big Bang theory and this or that, and it's all, I'm trying to find a sneeous word here, proper word here, but it's all this a joke. And I say no, that we're going to go to the point where we find out so much information, and we can almost answer every single thing, but there's going to be a point where there's things we still can't answer.
Right.
And that's going to show us that it's actually that's godliness. That's it's unexplainable. You know, like we can make weapons. You know, we can take matter and make energy. You know, that's the atomic bomb. But we can't take energy and make matter. You know, that's how the world was. No one's been able to figure that out. And even scientists who are very, very secular are saying that there is a piece to this that is just above our intellect. And so there, we have that kind of ongoing debate with the characters. We actually have one character who's kind of become an observant, and she starts to go to Friday night dinners, and they have big discussions, and, you know, you always have, like, a wide variety of Jewish people at some of these, these Friday night dinners.
And who's the target audience of this?
Really, it's, I mean, we're just trying to get this thing made, so we would make it for anyone. But I would say that it's basically, you know, 18-year-olds, 18 to probably 45-year-olds.
I got you. Okay, interesting. No, listen, that's great. That's great. That's great stuff. So you're still going to have time to do your comedy, or that's going to be kind of put on the back burner because you're now working on the TV?
Well, we've written, it's what you pitch around is called a treatment. Treatments, right. There's no guide to a treatment, you know, character breakdown, a couple episodes, maybe like a synopsis of the episodes and, you know, where they're going to be in, you know, at the end of a season or something like that, the characters. And we basically took a treatment and turned it into, they call it a Bible. If a show gets green light, they need a Bible for the show, and it's every single thing that's happened to each character and where the show's going to be in a number of years and this and that. And we have basically a mini Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really want to send that document out because it just gives people a reason to say no. They can find something there and no. It's better for us to get the meeting and then go in and talk to them and pitch to them. And that's the key. You go in, you start a personal relationship with these people, and you know you can gauge their interest in the pitch meeting. Are they listening? Are they asking, you know, real deep questions? And then you know yourself that you're onto something. If they really, you know,
that's
these
great.
People.
So when are you going to know whether this thing is going to go or not?
Oh well, so we are going to be pitching to some other places. We've already pitched to one, and right now it's pilot season, so there's a lot of things going on with shooting pilots, and it's crazy for actors, you know, because there's supposed to be a lot of auditions for actors, and we can't really pitch right now. We need to wait probably till towards the end of May, and that's basically when I get back from Okinawa, and then we're pitched to a couple more.
Well, it sounds really interesting, David. I mean, it's unbelievable. You've come such a long way, and what do you think? You think that Jewish people are funny? I mean, like, you know, we're doing this whole thing in Jewish Action on, you know, orthodoxy in a way, you know, being, you know, that people now for the first time are actually going up, stand-up comedians and talking about it. I mean, are we funny people? Are we very serious?
I think. Well, that's interesting because on my business card, one side says seriously and the other side says funny. I think that because of our history, and I mean the obvious answer is because of our history and all the stuff that we've gone through as a people, you know, it's just a massive amount of devastating things that happened to us, and a way to deal with tragedy is through humor. And, you know, these our Jewish brains of generations upon generations of sitting and learning and studying Gemara and just on and on and on learning has, you know, made us a very analytical people. And, you know, we could also argue that that's because of the, you know, the Jewish soul. But so people like Jews are very funny people. You know, we really are. And that's a challenge for stand-up comedians because a lot of times when you go into a Jewish organization to do stand-up, part of the audience is there with their not figuratively, literally, with their arms crossed and the attitude of he thinks he's funny, I'm funny. Well, he thinks he's funny, well, I should be good, you know. And I'm
funnier than this guy. What's he doing up there, right? I
mean, right. Yeah, I'm funny, but he's funny. I'm a comedian. Mm-hmm. It's like, are you kidding me? You know, I had an Israeli guy raised his hand in a show, And I'm like, you raise your hand, you know, because actually when I do my speaking gigs, I throw in about 30 minutes of comedy, and the speaking gig, the whole show, right, is about an hour and 15. And I said, we're not to questions yet, but go ahead. And he stands up, and instead of asking a question, he turns around, his back facing me, and he tells a joke. I had to tell that joke. There's a Jewish people, you know. So Jewish crowds are most definitely the hardest crowds to perform in front of, and that's why there are so many great Jewish comedians out there.
That's true. You're right. So now if people want to contact you, how do they do that? What do they do?
Best way to contact me.
Seriously, or the funny part, you know, which one? Depends which one.
Well, they can always Google Jewish Marine Comedian and find me, but I'm LinkedIn. I'm trying to build up my LinkedIn. Join Dave Rosner. That's the LinkedIn one. I have DaveRosner.com, R-O-S-N-E-R. I'm on evil Facebook. It's a reluctant necessity. And I'm on Twitter. I'm on it all.
How about YouTube? Do you have any things on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. I do have some things on YouTube. They can search Dave Rosner. And they could also search Big Macher, M-A-C-H-E-R. And there's some videos up there. Yeah.
Great. Listen, good luck to you, and good luck to you in your trip and in everything you do. And it's really, really fascinating. And we're happy to talk about you in Jewish Action. And I'm sure people will be calling you after they read the article and go online to hear the conversation. So good luck to you in everything you do. Nice having you on the show, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All the very best. Thank you so much.